Right, one of the guards answered. There's a medical team on their way. Which, Skye thought, given the general state of medical expertise aboard the Santiago, was about as useful as saying there were priests coming, or undertakers. He looked at the sleeper casket, the long plinth-like, machine-encrusted cryo-coffin which filled much of the room. The upper half of it was cracked wide open, huge jagged fractures like shattered glass. Sharp bits of it formed a haphazard glass mosaic on the floor. It was exactly as if something inside the casket had forced its way out. And there was something inside it. The passenger was dead, or nearly dead. That much was obvious. At first glance, the man looked normal enough apart from the bullet wounds. A naked human being invaded by monitoring wires, blood shunts, and catheters. He was younger than most of them, Skye thought. Excellent fanatic fodder, in other words. But with his bald head and mask-like lack of facial muscle tone, the man could have passed for 1,000 other sleepers. Except that his forearm had come off. It was lying on the floor, in fact, a limp, glove-like thing, ending in flaps of ragged skin. But there was no bone or meat showing from the end, and very little blood had leaked from the severed limb. The stump was wrong as well. The man's skin and bone stopped a few inches below his elbow. And then it was all tapering metal prosthesis, a complex, blood-lathered, glittering obscenity, which ended not in steel fingers, but in a vicious assemblage of blades. Skye imagined how it must have happened. The man had woken inside his casket, probably following a plan laid down before the flotilla had left Mercury. He must have intended to wake up unobserved, smash his way to freedom, and then set about inflicting stealthy harm on the ship, in precisely the way that might have happened on the Islamabad, if Constanza's theory was correct. A lone man could certainly do great damage, if he was not obliged to allow for his own survival. But his revival had not gone unnoticed. He must have been in the process of waking when the security team had entered the berth. Perhaps Skye's father had been leaning over the casket, examining it, when the man had cracked it open with his forearm weapon. It would have been very easy for him to stab Titus then, even if the other squad members were doing their best to put magazine loads of bullets into him. Drugged with pain-nullifying revival chemicals, he had probably barely noticed the shots eating into him. They had stopped him, maybe even killed him, but not before he had inflicted extreme harm on Titus. Skye knelt down next to his father. Titus's eyes were still open, but they seemed not quite to focus.
"Dad? It's me. Skye, try and hang on, will you? The medics are coming. It'll be all right."
One of the guards touched his shoulder. "He's strong, Skye. He had to go in first, you know. That was his way."
"Is his way, you mean?"
"Of course. He'll pull through." Skye started to say something, the words assembling in his head, but suddenly the passenger was moving, at first with dreamlike slowness, then with terrifying speed. For a yawning instant it was not something he was prepared to believe. The man's injuries were simply too severe for him to be capable of movement, let alone movement that was swift and violent. The passenger rolled from the casket, the movement lithe and animal-like. And then the man was standing, and with one elegant scythe-like sweep of his arm, he cut one of the guards open across the throat, the guard collapsing to his knees with blood fountaining from the wound. The passenger paused, holding his weapon arm in front of him, and then the complex cluster of knives whirred and clicked, one blade retracting while another slotted into place, gleaming with pure blue surgical brilliance. The passenger studied this process with what looked like quiet fascination. He stepped forward towards Skye. Skye still had Constanza's gun, but the fear was so intense that he could not even